We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you've got your Bible, turn with me over to 1 Peter. Several places we're going to this morning goes right along. Guys, when you surrender, when I surrender, when we let ourselves go and be whatever He wants us to be, there's absolutely no telling what God can do in and through us. My prayer for you is that you're growing in your faith. My prayer for you is that you're becoming who He saved you to be. That you're not who you were this time last year, but you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind and your spirit. You're in the Word. How are you? Let me ask you, how are you in the Word? Are you in the Word like you should be? That's not an out loud answer, but in your spirit you know where you are. You know who can fix that? Not her fault, it's not his fault, it's not their fault, it's not our. I surrender, make room, what's in the way? How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Look with me. 1 Peter, beginning in verse 3. Listen to this. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away." Listen, that is ours, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Look at verse 8. "And though you have not seen Him, you love Him." Church, that's us. "And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul." We come in this room and we know when we sing, we know He hears us. We know when we open up God's Word at home, or when we're riding down the road, or when we're sitting in the class, or wherever we are, we're in the middle of work. And we begin to pray. We know He hears us. We know He's there. We know that we're not just going through motions. There's a calm assurance. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's a confidence that we as believers have, that you have, no matter, even though you may have to face various trials at times, God's got a purpose for those trials. But we know He's working in and through all things. Guys, are you growing in your walk? Are you where you want to be in your spiritual journey? Are you? I thought about it. I'm like, I always do this. I don't know who else in your world is asking you this. I'm pretty sure your boss isn't asking you, "How's your prayer life?" Your coworkers probably aren't asking you, "Hey, how's your Bible study? How's your obedience to the Lord? Hey, are you surrendering everything to God? Are you surrendering your marriage? Is your marriage where it ought to be? Are you surrendering your wife? Are you surrendering your husband? Are you surrendering your children? Are you surrendering your finances to the Lord? Are you?" Your best friends last night, I was sitting at the house, had the windows open and watching one game, and every time that other team would do something, my whole world would get loud outside. Bunch of crazy folks all over my town. I mean, it was madness out there. Are those people cheering you on about, hey, how's your walk? Do we have that same amount of enthusiasm when right before halftime a big play happens? Do we have that same? Listen, do we have that same enthusiasm about the Lord? None of us do. Think about it. That sickens me. I get more frustrated at, I'm the other team. I know, feel sorry for us. I get sick at myself because I get riled up about that stuff. And it don't matter in eternity. Nobody gets saved because of that. Nobody. They don't, y'all. Eternity don't hinge on us W's and L's. Eternity don't hinge on a scoreboard. Eternity hinges on walking in obedience, following Christ, Him being your Savior and Him being your Lord. We got to believe that with all of our hearts. We got to believe that with all of our hearts. We've not seen Him, but we know He's there. Look, hey, Hebrews 12. But before you get to Hebrews 12, you get to Hebrews 11, walk of faith, hall of faith. We know every single one of them. Do you believe this stuff? This can't be just Sunday morning. And here's the deal. I believe that most of you in this room, I see you week and week and week and week after week. Here's what I believe. I believe you're getting it. I believe you're hungering. I believe that you're thirsting for righteousness. I believe that the Spirit of God convicts you when you drift. I believe that you want to grow closer to the Lord. I believe that you do not want to stay. You don't want to stay with just the elementary, old school stories of the Bible. You want to grow. You want to apply it. You hear those songs. I'm going to stand on you, Lord. I'm going to stand on the promises of this book. I'm going to stand on the truth of your word because I believe you're real. Guys, a lot of it has to do with we believe he's real. If we believe he's real, we're going to live for him. If we believe he's real, we're going to obey him. If we believe that we're going to have to give an account for our lives, for this life, not for their life, not for my parents' life, not for my children's life, I'm going to have to give an account for my life. And so are you. I'm going to lose rewards because of me. I'm not going to be able to possibly throw crowns because of me. Nobody else, and that sickens me. And a desire to walk in obedience, faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Do you believe this stuff is going to happen? Do you believe that God is real? Do you believe that that staying in the Word matters, that prayer matters? Do you believe that coming together and worshiping with like-minded believers? The Bible says don't forsake the assembling of together like some do. Don't forsake that assembling when we're here. Listen, let me tell you something. When you're not here, this is what we do. When you're not here, this is what you miss. And that should bother all of us. It bothers me. There's power in this. There's power in this room. There's power in this oneness. There's power in this unity. There's power in this community. There's power in this fellowship. There's power. Because here's the deal. We've been through life together. We've grown together. We're doing this. There's something about togetherness. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. You got a group. God gave you a group. By faith. Now faith, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him because he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We believe that he's there. That's why we live. We believe. Listen to this. Just listen to this, this verse. Over in John, don't turn, don't even put it up, just as a reference. Listen to this. Thomas is saying, in 8 days, his, his disciples were again and Thomas with them. And Jesus came and the doors having been shut and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands and reach here your hands and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed?" Listen to this. "Blessed are those who did not see and yet believe." That's us. Blessed are those we've not seen, but we believe. We believe that he's real. We believe that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. We believe that we have chapter 12 over in Hebrews, that there's a cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us by faith. When you read over in 11, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Moses, by faith all of these, by faith you and I, by faith. You and I by faith. Think about all the stuff that's out there. All the shiny things that are out there in this world. What matters? Our relationship with the Lord. Most important thing you have is your relationship with the Lord. Not your finances. It's not your health. Not your family. It's your relationship with the Lord. That's it. That's pinnacle. That's all that matters. From our relationship with the Lord flows all those other things. How we are in our family, how we are in our health, how we are in our life, how we view things, how we view this world, how we view everything. We're shaped by our faith. You're shaped not by the opinions of the world, but by the Word of God. By the Word of God. Look at verse 13. "All these died without receiving the promise, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." For those who say such things make it clear that they're seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he prepared for them a city. How's your walk? How's your walk? Are you growing? Are you growing? What holds you back? Think about it. Stop right now. Think about what is it that keeps you from being. You say, "Brother Shannon, I hear you. You're right. Nobody else is asking me this. My coworkers here aren't asking me this. My family and friends aren't asking me this. These people I run with aren't asking me this. You're right. You're the only one." What is it? What is it that's keeping you from being who God saved you to be? What's keeping you from getting in the Word? Don't sit there and say, "Well, I just don't understand it. I have a short attention span. I just don't get it. I read it and I fall asleep." Keep reading. Stay in it. Fall asleep, slobbering all over it. Jump back up. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with it. Don't keep us from watching a foolish game for 3 hours. Hanging on every moment, and you know good as well. You're sitting in your recliner, and your toes get tense every play. You're just you're tackling, you're moving, you're running, you're bought in. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Don't you? Every play, my feet hinge up. I'm like, such an idiot. What is it? I talk about that because that's fresh last night. But what is it that keeps you? When there's not a game on Saturday, what is it that's on? What's your Tuesday thing? What's your excuse? What's our excuse? What is our excuse? What is it? Verse chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us." What is it? I can't say it's this or this or this because it's different. What catches you, what entangles you, what keeps you, what when the Spirit of God, think about this, when the Spirit of God says, hey, you ain't got nothing to do, get off the phone, you ain't got nothing to do, go get in the Word, you ain't got nothing to do, go pray, and you go there, and you're like, okay, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. What is it that just hinders you, that keeps you from being right where you know God wants you? What is it? I doubt anybody else in your life is looking at you and saying, what is it that's keeping you from being everything God saved you to be? What is that sin that so easily entangles you? What's that ball and chain that has you? God, I'm coming, but I'm just, listen, I'm coming, Lord. What is it? We can't run with endurance the race that's set before us. When we allow these things that we know, we can think about them, we can put a name to them, we can label them. And the Bible clearly says, put them aside. It's a choice. Faith's a choice. Believing's a choice. I'm going to stand on this stuff. Or I'm just going to know, yeah, that's nice, but it's not for me. Yeah, that's nice, but I'm not that spiritual. It has nothing to do about your spiritualness. None of us are that spiritual. About keep going. About just continuing on. It's about pressing on. It's about just keep living. It's about just keep on. Just keep on. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. How do we do it? We know we're in a war. We realize the enemy is not each other. We realize the enemy is Satan. And there will never be a time to where the enemy goes away from you, except for when you're drawing near to God. There's a good chance most of you in this room right now, your minds are listening. Well, if I walk over here, you're following me here. If I walk over here, you're following me here. You're not daydreaming. You're not daydreaming. You're not thinking about this. You're not. Your mind ain't off wondering why. Because you're where you're supposed to be. Devil don't mess with you here. It's a safe place. Listen, you got to fight him every day. You got to get up every day and run with endurance this race you're in. Every day, get up and go. You just got to do it every day. No, you may not have a choir leading you and a praise team leading you. No, you may not have brothers and sisters in Christ that's urging you on. But every single day, we're in a battle. Don't stop. Don't stop. Look over. Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Did we ever get there, Brother Shannon? No. You never arrive. You never arrive. A lot of people have this thing that, well, I'm just going to get to where it's easy. It never gets easy. Did you hear me? It never gets easy. Temptation's always there. Distractions are always there. Persecution is always there. Other things, flesh is always there. These eyes, this tongue, these ears, this mind, these hands, these feet. This thing is always there. And the enemy's always there. So there's a constant battle. There's a war. There's this thing, this conflict that happens all the time. And when the Spirit of God is saying, hey, you've got time. I'm here. Praise me. Worship me. And then all of a sudden the flesh, you know what I'm talking about. Will it ever get better? No. That's why you just keep going. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul wrote 13 of these letters, 13 books in the Bible, 13 of these 66 Paul wrote. And you know what he says? You know what he says about it? Well, if anybody ought to have arrived, it should be Paul, but he says he hasn't. Not that I've already obtained it, verse 12, Philippians 3, 12. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. He's like, I ain't there yet. I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward to what lies ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. Every day, church, we press on. Every day, you just press on. You know it's a battle. You know the enemy's coming at you. You know distractions are going to be there. You know temptation is going to be there. You know the lust of the flesh, the pride, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know there's going to be the worries and all this stuff. You know now. Listen, now we've got social media that we see all the time, and we've got comparing and contrasting and judging and grudges, and you see others have some. There's all of these distractions. There's shiny things everywhere. There's things pulling at us at 100 miles an hour in 100 different ways. And there we stay. There we stand. The sheep that is out in the among wolves. You press on. You don't stop. You don't stop. You keep going. You keep growing, you keep hungering, you keep thirsting, you keep repenting, you keep crying out, oh wretched man that I am, who will free me from this body of death? And you be reminded of Christ, and you realize that, and you daily are remembering and we're being reminded that we're justified by faith and we have access to God. And when the enemy tempts us and draws us and drifts us, we come back and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, God. And it's a constant back and forth, but we just keep going. We don't just let ourselves, oh, well, I can't get it. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to be like one of them. Yes, if you're a Christian, you're already like one of them. If you're a Christian, look with me. Look with me to 2 Peter. It's amazing how God works. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning of verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, listen to this. This is what I'm talking about. This is the sermon in a text. This is my whole point. This is everything I'm trying to say in a text written from Peter to a persecuted church. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, In your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's what we are. As a believer, that's what we are. We apply all faith to attain these things. Look at what the Bible says. 4, verse 8. 4. If these qualities are yours. Brother Shannon, why do you do what you do? Because of 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm being honest. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, we don't rest on yesterday's manna. We don't get to a point and stop. No, if these are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will not stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Look at the next verse. Look at what Peter says. Therefore, I'll always be ready to remind you of these things. Preacher, that's all you do. It seems like all the time you come up and you ask, how's your walk? Ever so often, you just preach the same thing. You're just on a circle. You're on a circle. I've told you 100 times, they 66 books. I am not going to preach all 66 books to you. If you think you're going to get it from me, you're going to starve to death. I ain't a good preacher. There's way better out there. If you want a preacher that works you through books, bores you to death, working you through that you could read to your own self, go find one other. But I'm going to tell you, Peter says this, therefore I'll always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. He's like, I'm always going to be ready to stir you up and to remind you that this is what you ought to be doing. Because if you're doing this and this stuff is growing and increasing in you, you are not useless to the kingdom. You're not unfruitful to the kingdom. But if they're not, then you're in trouble. You got to be careful. Be careful. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. Keep doing. I consider it right. Verse 13. I hope if I'm here another 5 years or 15 years or 10 years or die tomorrow, that you can be able to say, you know what? What that preacher always talked about? Well, I don't know. There's a lot of Bible. Casey was a way better Bible teacher than him. But doggone it, I knew where I should be. And he wanted me to grow. And he didn't want me to stay where I was. Look at what Peter says. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you'll be able to call these things to mind. Say it over and over and over and over and over. Say the same verses over and over and over and over and over. Let the same prayers be over and over and over and over and over. Let the same focus be over and over and over and over and over. So you pretty much know the word by the conversations that you have. Paul says he never gets there. Look with me. Look with me. Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We spent an entire year, several years ago, talking about this one verse. It was a theme. Church. Galatians 6, beginning in verse 9, it says, let us not lose heart in doing good. Don't stop. Don't stop. You can't stop. You can't stop. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time you'll reap if you don't grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially to those who are in the household of faith. How's your walk? Are you growing? Are you in the Word like you should be? Are you praying like you should be? Are you loving others like you should? Are you walking in obedience to the Lord like you should? If not, what is it that's keeping you there? What's the sin that so easily entangles you? Repent. Repent. We sang a song, I'll Make Room. What is it that's keeping you from it? Then clear all that junk out. Repent of it. Cry out to it. Say, Lord God, I am weak here. God, I am so terribly weak here. God, I have a tendency here. God, my faith is weak here. Lord, I'm in need, Lord. Tell him he's okay with that. He can handle that. He can handle that. Keep growing. Keep moving. Keep keeping on. Keep keeping on. Keep loving. Everybody around you should know you're a believer. Everybody in your circle of influence should know you're a believer. You're not a secret Christian. You're not a camouflage Christian. You're not mixing into the crowd. You're not doing your walk with the Lord on this secret little thing. Christians are not secret little things. We're bold in our faith. We're bold in our walk. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We are followers of Jesus, unashamed. Don't be ashamed. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? Lord, here we are again. What do we do? God, I pray right now for that sin that so easily entangles us. Holy Spirit of God, what is that encumbrance? Holy Spirit of God, remind us once again. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us when we doubt, when we fear, when we worry, when we get upset. God, forgive us, Lord, when we know the right thing to do and do not do it. Forgive us, Lord, when your spirit is saying stop and we walk headlong into it. God, forgive us when your spirit is saying go and we utterly refuse. God, forgive us for our weakness. Give us greater faith, Lord. Give us greater faith. Help our walk grow. God, give us a hunger for your word. Give us a hunger to walk close to you. Give us a hunger for prayer. God, let us intercede. Let us be in the room when no one sees it, when no one knows it. Let us be that prayer warrior that is standing in the gaps for every person that's there. God, don't leave us where we are. Bring us to where you want us to be. God, don't let us walk in a manner worthy of the world, but God, let us walk in a manner worthy of you, King Jesus, because you died for us and you rose again and you've gone to prepare a place for you and you're going to come back and get us that where you are, you'll be also, Lord. I praise you for that. God, don't let us leave this here. Let us wrestle with this. God, let us work in this. Let us just, God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.